Welcome to Dietitians Uncorked, a podcast hosted by Kat and Kelly, two registered dietitians who co-founded Nutriving, a virtual nutrition practice. We talk all things food, nutrition, life, and of course, wine. This is a judgment-free zone where all foods fit and all bodies are welcome. Thanks for listening. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Dietitians Uncorked. We are so excited that you are here. We are doing a fun episode today, just kind of gathering some commonly asked questions about fiber. So fiber is a topic we talk about with clients a lot. And I think there's always, I feel this way, Kat, tell me if you agree. There's always a lot of kind of confusion, just questions that come up about fiber. Would you agree?
Yes, like all the time. And I think because I'm a dietitian, because I know fiber, I've studied fiber, I feel very close emotionally to fiber. I find that I'm just sort of talking about, oh, and this has fiber in it, it's great. And I get this sort of blank expression or just like, isn't that bad? Because I'm having GI issues, you know. And so I think this is a really good episode, especially if you don't know what fiber is, kind of feel like it's good, but have questions. This might be a good episode for you.
I have a very quick, funny story that illustrates that we are basically the same person. This was years ago. My husband, Jeff, I was just like staring into space and he was like, what are you thinking about? And I said, fiber. Which was a genuine answer. I was actually thinking about fiber. And apparently that's a line from some Jim Carrey movie that I have not seen. And so he thought it was like the funniest thing. But I was genuinely thinking about fiber. Because as you know, we studied it for a long time. We learn a lot about how it's related to various, you know, medical conditions and diseases. So I feel invested, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was... Similarly, well, maybe not that similarly, but in the interest of fiber, I was in the buffet line of a wedding. This was like several years ago. And they had the option of white rice or brown rice as like part of the buffet. And the guy who was behind me, we were, you know, typical small talk. What do you do for a living? Whatever. I said I'm a dietitian, and it's really terrible to say that you're a dietitian. So if you are a dietitian, you're listening to this, you know what I mean. If you're not, it means that people talk to you about weird diets or just like strange facts that like, I don't know why people feel the need to share those. But anyway, he was like, oh, you're going to get the white rice. Which I was sort of surprised by that. I thought he would assume I'd get the brown. And I just looked at him and I was thinking, like, does he think I'm a different ethnicity? Or, like, where is that coming from? And he was like, oh, you know, because the brown rice has that stuff that makes it harder to digest. And so you don't want that. Like, those vegetables, it's just, like, real rough on your GI. And I was like, are you talking about fiber? And I was like, yes. I'm like, wow, confidently incorrect.
Admire it.
Yeah, we got into it on fiber, of course, because I couldn't lead this poor man astray. Right. He had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Don't want him walking around like that.
Telling people the wrong thing.
Yeah.
It's just not right. Just not right. All right, so Kelly, tell all of our friends, what is fiber and why are you and I so obsessed with it?
So I like to explain this as I go back to carbohydrates first, because fiber is a type of carbohydrate. So I always encourage people to think about carbohydrate as like an umbrella term. And underneath carbohydrates, we have various types of starches. We have sugar, like simple sugar. And then we have fiber. So fiber is truly a type of carbohydrate that comes from plants. So it's from, you won't find it in animal products. It's a plant-based component in our food, and it mostly passes through our digestive system without being broken down. So this means that we're not exactly receiving calories, we're not receiving energy from fiber, but it has a lot of benefits, in part because of that. So we receive energy in the form of calories from other types of carbohydrate, like starches and sugar. And also we receive calories from fat and from protein. But in the case of fiber, it's a little bit different. So we're not actually getting energy from fiber for the most part.
Right. Something else about fiber, and I think this might be where a lot of people find it a little bit more complex to understand, is that there are two types of fibers. And if you're having GI issues, there is one specific type of fiber that we want to focus on, maybe you reducing, and another type of fiber that it might actually be good for you to have, which is sort of maybe not as intuitive because you're like, oh, you are having some diarrhea, have some soluble fiber. You're like, fiber, that's the stuff that makes you poop. That's the stuff that like really like roughs your GI tract. And but there are two, and they're very different. And a lot of plant foods might have both of them, maybe just in various concentrations. So I'll talk a little bit about that. Soluble fiber is a type of fiber that dissolves in water. And it's really interesting because it forms this gel-like substance in our intestines. And it's been associated with lower cholesterol levels and blood sugar. And so this kind of gel-like sticky substance that forms in our GI tract, it slows down digestion. So this is why when you're having some, like the runs, as people call them, or just like frequent soft stools or diarrhea, maybe something that can slow down digestion and form this gel-like substance in your intestines, it's a good thing because it slows down a little bit of how the speed of which food moves through your GI tract, but it also helps you feel a little bit full for longer periods of time. And this is why fiber plays an important role in that satiety context of sort of getting you through a big meal or a meal that has some fiber in it, making you feel full for longer.
Exactly. So Kat just reviewed soluble fiber. The other type of fiber is called insoluble fiber. So soluble dissolves in water. This is kind of where the names are coming from. Insoluble fiber actually, it provides bulk essentially to the stool, and this helps move food more quickly through the stomach and the intestines. And when food moves more quickly, it is easier to have consistent bowel movements, which is really important. Like, that's a huge component of health. If you think about a time when maybe you haven't been able to go to the bathroom, you haven't been able to pass a bowel movement, it can be really uncomfortable.
The worst.
Yeah. So this, like, I kind of think of these as having a synergistic effect, because as Kat said, you do find both types of fiber. Usually foods have like a mixture of both, and they have different roles. They do different things in our body, and working together, they really help overall keep our digestive system moving, you know, regularly, so we don't have constipation, diarrhea, bloating, you know, pain, all of those uncomfortable symptoms.
Right. So a little bit to bring context into what foods are higher in what type of fiber. We generally find soluble fibers, so the gel-like substance that I talked about, in legumes, oats, barley, fruits, and some vegetables. This is why maybe if you're having an upset stomach or maybe just a lot of diarrhea, people might say, like, have some oatmeal, because it will slow down the frequency of food traveling through your GI tract. Insoluble fiber, you might find that in the whole grains, like the brown rice I talked about, wheat, corn, bran, nuts, seeds, and also vegetables and fruits. So vegetables and fruits fit into both categories. You just kind of have to, some vegetables might have one type or the other in greater amounts.
This next question, Kat, I feel like is so common. because people can see on labels, sometimes you'll see something, you know, an advertisement message or whatever that talks about net carbs. So people often are like, what is this? Does fiber cancel out carbs? Like, what's the deal here? And we want to tell you that net carbs is not a legal definition. It's not recognized by the FDA or the American Diabetes Association. So overall, I want you to basically ignore that message. Focus on total carbohydrate, you know, if that's something you're looking at when you're looking at nutrition labels. Because this concept of net carbs essentially means taking, again, that total carbohydrate content. Carbohydrate's an umbrella term. So we're taking the total amount, and people who calculate net carbs are subtracting the grams of fiber and typically also any sugar alcohols that are in the food to get a net carbon or a net carb number. So the rationale, like I talked about in the beginning, is that our bodies don't receive energy from fiber for the most part. We're not getting calories from that. Nor do we receive energy in the form of calories from sugar alcohol. So because of that, whoever created this concept, which I'm a little pissed at them about still because it's created so much confusion, but that's really kind of what they're like drawing on, which is inaccurate. So yes, fiber doesn't provide calories, nor does sugar alcohols, but that doesn't mean that it's taking away starch content from other carbohydrates in the food. It may slow the absorption. So fiber, as we talked about, fiber is responsible part of it for slowing absorption, but that's a different thing than, you know, canceling out energy from food.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good explanation. I hope everyone who has been confused about that listens to this because that was a great explanation.
Oh, thank you.
How a fiber is beneficial to our health? That is our next question. And my answer to that is, how is it not beneficial for your health? There are multiple layers here. So we'll get into the few top ones that sort of come to mind and that we talk to our clients frequently. I've mentioned this many times before on this podcast, but we have a fiber score that we give our patients when we're doing our nutrition analysis of their diet, because we believe that if they are not meeting the daily recommended amount of fiber, that there are steps we can take to increase that, because fiber is so massively important for our overall health. One thing that we do talk a lot is lipid levels, so cholesterol and triglycerides. The relationship with fiber is one that's just mind-blowing to me. So fiber sort of has this like really interesting role where it sort of scrub brushes our intestines. It has the ability to bind lipids. And so that your body is unable to absorb them. So it just sort of traps them and takes them with our stool out of our body, which is incredible. So think of your cholesterol levels, like your total cholesterol or your LDL or your HDL and your triglycerides, sort of having this relationship with fiber where fiber is sort of like trapping them and taking them out of the circulation, which is fantastic. Research has shown that higher fiber intake is associated with lower risk of death from cardiovascular disease, which is massive, and all cancers. So the relationship of fiber in protecting our bodies from excess lipid levels, or just the cholesterol most of us associate as the quote-unquote bad cholesterol, that is ginormous. I mean, it's doing the work that some of the pharmaceutical pills are targeting to lower that LDL cholesterol or that total cholesterol in people with dyslipidemia. So, I mean, talk about a superpower.
It's like magic science, magic plus science put together.
But it's actually just science. It's just so incredibly impressive. Yeah. It sounds magical. Yeah, totally. Harry Potter, whoever needed that magic world. Talk about fire here.
Right. I hope God, people are as passionate as we are. Okay, so we talked about it related to heart health and different parameters that we monitor for heart health. Another big one is blood sugar and subsequently the risk for diabetes. So that gel-like substance that we've been talking about, and just as Kat said, it can kind of bind with some of the lipids in our body to affect our cholesterol levels. It can really do the same thing with glucose. So the gel is like trapping glucose into the gel substance. And that means you're not going to absorb as much sugar from the foods that you're eating. And this is going to translate to more stable blood sugar levels. So not like quite as high of a spike after eating, because again, some of that glucose is being trapped in this gel-like substance. So over time, this is really beneficial. If we can keep our blood sugar management in check, this reduces our risk for diabetes. And it also just helps you feel better, right? If you've ever maybe had something really sweet and you feel like super hyper for a short period of time and then you crash, right? That's reflective of your blood sugar levels going pretty high and then going pretty low. So it's not exactly, it doesn't set you up for a stable level of energy. So things that we can do to avoid those drastic ups and downs are not only beneficial for diabetes risk, they're also beneficial for keeping our energy level stable and helping you, you know, feel full and satisfied to a comfortable extent after you eat.
Yeah. Our next one is a topic of a lot of interest right now. It's a big, big topic for current research. I think we have a long ways to go to fully understand, because I don't think we quite do, but this is about our gut bacteria and keeping a good balance between a healthy gut bacteria and bad bacteria in our GI tract. We know that we can benefit from the healthy gut bacteria, our microbiome, in sort of feeding and providing the right balance of foods for that. Fiber plays a huge role for that, because fiber can be fermented by the bacteria in our intestines. It essentially is the food for which this kind of gut bacteria can feed off of and remain active in your microbiome. We talk about all of this in our upcoming group program, which we highly, highly recommend if you're interested in this topic to check our group program, because we develop a whole week, a video with lots of material on this, because it's so important for our overall health. So fiber just is not just something to keep you full or to keep you going to the bathroom. It is a pivotal point to keeping that gut bacteria alive and healthy and well in your body.
A final area of health that's related to fiber intake that we wanted to talk about is actually colorectal cancer. So there, overall, there's been a lot of research in terms of looking at the correlations between fiber and a variety of types of cancer. Right now, the strongest evidence lies for the relationship between fiber and colorectal cancer, specifically over other types of cancer. So research has really shown correlations between a higher fiber diet via, you know, whole grains, fruits, vegetables, etc., and a reduced risk of colorectal cancer. So especially if you're someone who maybe has a family history of colorectal cancer, or you have other, you know, GI issues, this can be something to pay attention to, because we obviously can't control all of our risk factors, right? You can't control if you have family history of something, but you can, you know, try to increase fiber in your diet in order to kind of help protect yourself, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. We kind of did a little quick analysis of what people are Googling as far as like fiber, like what are the top few questions. So we have a few at the bottom. What types of food have fiber is one of the most searched questions for fiber. And as we mentioned before, they come from plant foods, meaning fruits, vegetables. They also come from whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds. All of these are rich sources of fiber. The second one is just chicken have fiber. No animal protein does not have fiber, so chicken does not have fiber. And does coffee have fiber? Coffee does not have fiber. Although we kind of understand the association because coffee does help you go to the bathroom. But it does not have fiber in it.
Right. So there's been some research around specifically caffeine, like stimulating the urge to go to the bathroom because it may activate muscles in our colon. But that's a different mechanism, right, than fiber.
Right.
Another common question that's Googled is, do Fiber One bars make you poop? There's so many Fiber One products, bars, cereals, etc. Yeah. And they can pack a punch. So I did a little bit of research and looks like on average, a Fiber One bar has about 9 grams of fiber, which for reference compared to like an average estimate of fiber intake for a person, that's about a third of your day. So especially if you're not used to having a lot of fiber throughout the day, all of a sudden having a bomb of 9 grams at one time certainly may stimulate, you know, get the things moving, make you want to go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Final two, does fish have fiber? Again, no animal products do not have fiber. And can I eat too much fiber? Yes, you can. You definitely can eat too much fiber. And actually, consuming too much fiber all of a sudden from, let's say you have a lower fiber intake, your diet's pretty low in fiber, and then all of a sudden you increase it, you can have pretty uncomfortable symptoms, GI-related symptoms like distension, having too much gas in your stomach or in your abdomen area, having diarrhea is a common side effect, also having constipation and then diarrhea is a side effect, having both at the same time is something that can happen. So in order to avoid that sort of uncomfortable experience, we do recommend increasing our fiber intake slowly and with plenty of hydration. It is massively important that you meet your hydration needs, especially as it relates to fiber, because we don't want this sudden change of fiber intake to cause havoc in your GI system. It is much more preferable and much more recommended for you to increase slowly to a higher fiber diet.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. It was short and sweet about fiber.
If your friends ever ask you about fiber, you will sound like a complete expert after listening to this podcast, because hopefully we cleared up all the confusion out there. We do have a group program that will be available coming up on April 25th, and we are super excited about sharing that with you. It's called Nourished and Empowered. It's an amazing program. We have lots of resources. Some of the topics we cover here are a little bit, we go in a little deeper, and we give you plenty of resources so that you can know how to increase your fiber intake or anything related to gut bacteria or anything like that. So if you are interested, please head over to our website, nutrivine.com. Under groups or services, you can put your information and we will send you some additional information about price and about how to get started. So thank you so much for spending this time with us, friends. We absolutely appreciate your time. We have a new episode coming out next week, and we cannot wait to see you then. Bye.
Bye.